Hey, and welcome to the Healthy Fit Life podcast. I'm your host, Paul Hanton. So today we'll be talking to Martin Sharp, who is a multi-award-winning international consultant, coach, speaker, and author. Since 1993, he has specialized in transforming busy and overweight business owners and consultants to being fitter, happier, and more confident. So today we'll be trying to answer the question of why is it so hard to stay on track with your health while traveling? And if you're a fan of this show, please do remember to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and to leave a review if you enjoy listening. So let's get started. So, Martin, I appreciate you coming on the show again. First time we spoke, I had a really good time discussing how business owners and consultants can improve their health. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Paul. It's been a good year so far and hopefully getting even better.
Awesome. Yeah. And I encourage any listener that's listening right now to go check out that episode that Martin and I did before. It was a fantastic episode. It went so well, in fact, that I asked him to come on the show again. So, I'm glad that we had a chance to connect and looking forward to this discussion on how to work on your health while traveling. So I know that's really challenging for a lot of business owners. But before we get started, why don't you go ahead and give a quick introduction on who you are for the audience again?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Martin Sharp, as you said earlier, and I've been in business consulting and transformation since 1993. And when I set my own consulting firm in 2009, what happened very quickly, it's like within the space of like 5 years, is I grew very quickly. I became 154 kilos, 340 pounds in imperial measurements, ended up with a 54-inch waist. And at the time, I thought this was perfectly normal. It's kind of what happens as you're just like getting older and things, and realized actually that it was having quite a detriment to my health, not only just in a case of working too hard, but also actually on what was happening with my body as well. So over the space of about 5 years, I was trying all sorts of things to try and marry something with my lifestyle, being a busy entrepreneur, a business owner, with actually trying to become healthy as well. And one thing I realized over the 5 year period is the vast majority of things that's available in the marketplace in the fitness space doesn't actually cater to that lifestyle. Right. And it wasn't until I started working with a bodybuilder actually and started to learn some of the basics around like movement and meal planning, etc., and then tried to adapt it into my lifestyle, that actually then started to see the results. And within the space of 3 months, lost 10 kilos, which is what, 22 pounds. I hadn't lost 10 kilos in the space of 5 years. So this was quite amazing. And then over the following 18 months, I dropped down 60 kilos, which is 133 pounds, and dropped to a 32-inch waist. So I was quite a happy chap at the end of that. Now I'm loving nothing more than actually helping other people, other really busy consultants, business owners, entrepreneurs, doing the same, so that they can get the same results and achieve that better level of confidence and focus and energy, really.
Yeah, and I think so. You've kind of lived through that lifestyle, right, of being busy and being a business owner, an entrepreneur. Now, when you did that, did you ever travel while you were doing that, and how did that impact your health while you were traveling?
Oh, absolutely. And it's interesting. One of the things I do say to people is I would be potentially away for 20 days out of the month, and I wouldn't know which city, county, or country I would be in, let alone anything else, which is great. It's really good fun, don't get me wrong. I met to meet some amazing people. I've been to some amazing places. And you end up just eating what's there, and it's part of enjoying the culture and things, and also part of the hotel lifestyle. You kind of just slip in. Being in that kind of transformation space, that business transformation space, one of the key critical things you've got to do is you're there to build consensus, get people on board to actually be part of that transformation and cooperate in moving the whole organization forwards. So the first thing you're trying to do is actually, how do you start to build rapport? And while it's great to say, yeah, we can build rapport by going out on a lovely retreat or a hike or a bike ride, etc., but trying to find that level playing field that everybody does usually ends up being eating and drinking, unfortunately, which means straight away you just end up overindulging because of all the things that's going on.
Yeah, and I think that is a really good point is when it comes to networking, especially while you travel, is centered around eating, right? Dinners, lunches, very common. And also think that when people in the business community travel, their priority isn't on their health or, you know, staying with their fitness goals. It's on what they're doing for work. So when it comes to someone who's on the road a lot, or even someone that travels moderately every once in a while, why is it so hard to balance their career and what they're doing on the road versus their health goals?
You're absolutely spot on with what you're saying. And there's kind of two kind of key aspects from my perspective. One is you've got the the social pressure, because you're obviously out, you're out of your normal comfort zone, you're in this other environment, etc. So therefore, you're trying to find yourself, even though you might be a very strong-willed person, you might be a leader or a commander of a whole variety of things, but you're still in this environment that isn't your environment. So you're still finding your feet, even if you are a very strong-willed or positive person. When you look at the other side of the equation, we are creatures of habit. You know, we create so many shortcuts in our life. And if we didn't create the shortcuts, we would just be overwhelmed on a daily basis. I mean, just think about the number of thoughts that you have each day. If you had to pay attention and actually actively consider each and every one of them, you just wouldn't manage it. So we build these habits in our life to make life easier. When you're traveling, though, you break that routine, so you're breaking those habits, which means that you're not in a place to be able to sort of repeat and get that consistency of action unless you're kind of consciously building something back into it.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. With when you're back in your home environment, you rely on your habits and consistency, but then when you get out of that environment, then suddenly it's a new environment. You kind of have to make adjustments. But when it comes to those habits, what are some habits that people can do while they're traveling that are easy, even if someone's busy running around? What are those habits that people can start to incorporate while they travel, but they still want to accomplish their health goals?
Brilliant question. And there's a whole raft of things we can go into. But I think the first one is, it's like we said last time, it's almost like understand what your values are. Because once you've kind of built that, then it becomes a little bit easier. So one of the things, for example, is you might feel the social pressure to have a drink when you're out networking. Networking is a classic. And usually it's either first thing in the morning or last thing on night. So it's either a breakfast networking or it's an evening drinks kind of networking event a lot of the time. And realize you don't have to have that beer. You don't have to have that glass of wine or whatever else is going to be coming along. You don't have to have the canapes. So if your values and your goals mean that actually by having that glass of wine, that beer, the canapes, the meal, whatever else it's going to be, will detract from it, then choose to opt out. You can go for other drinks. There are certain things like you can do like soda water and lime or something. So it's a really nice refreshing drink, really easy to be able to have. So you're still there in the environment, etc. But you've chose something that's not going to actually impact your performance or your judgment or potentially impact your progress towards your goals.
Yeah, I think that's another really great point is you can, now I would even add, you could probably do moderation too, right? Where maybe you, instead of having, you know, three or four drinks, you just have one glass of wine or one, you know, really clean, like vodka and water or vodka and seltzer. That way, because I do think you're right about that social pressure, right? You want to build those relationships. And if you're the odd one out, then there's a lot of pressure around that. But let's say, like, how can someone deal with that? So let's say someone is dealing with a lot, they feel like they have a lot of pressure on them to be part of the group. What can someone do in those situations to still feel like they're still able to build those relationships, but still refrain from maybe alcohol or overindulging in different foods?
Well, it's having a game plan before you get there. So understand, you know, what it is that you're going to do, what it is that you're not going to do. So, for example, if you know that you're going to be going out for a meal and things, have an idea of what the menu is. So look at the menu beforehand, have a check out what the menu is going to be. Make your selection, your choices before you actually get there. Understanding, for example, what it is that you're trying to achieve and how it's going to fit into your overall progress. Because then once you've kind of got that in mind, it becomes easy. So and we do it in business all the time. That's the crazy thing. So when you're in business, you do a lot of planning, you do a lot of risk management, etc. So you're already playing out these scenarios. So you've got your, for example, if you took a risk management approach to this, you'd have your mitigation plan, your management plan. You'd look at how you can, you know, circumvent risk, etc. So it's exactly the same thing as what you'd do in your life. The difference being is most people don't actively think about that before they do go on a journey or anything. If you do kind of do those little bits, then straight away you've got ways of being able to say, okay, well, if this happens, then I do that. And it becomes an automatic response rather than being in that moment trying to think, oh, what's the best thing I can do right now? So a little bit of pre-planning can sometimes pay dividends. And the other one as well is when you're in that kind of environment, people will respect you actually more for standing up for who you are. And probably you've already started to build a conversation and an icebreaker, because it's a bit like that old saying about who would you like to be sat next to on a 7-hour flight. You know, if you become an interesting person that you can have a conversation with, then straight away you can start to introduce something that everybody can attach themselves to, then you then find it easier to have some of those harder conversations later. So again, if you're in that kind of large transformational space, whether it's in business, whether it's in lifestyle, whatever, it means that you've then already started to build that rapport because you've introduced an easier subject without it being, you know, small talk about the weather or, you know,
right. What
you're doing something. So yeah, it's sometimes a little bit easier in that way.
You have obviously a lot of experience in the business community, and I like how you're not saying, okay, don't do those things. Don't go out and have those happy hour or business lunches or dinners. What you're saying is just be smart about it, right? And you don't have to, you know, be stuck in your hotel room while everyone else is out. No, just be smart about it. So I think that's really good how you understand the challenges that come with that. So you're trying to find, you have a way to kind of breach that middle ground, right?
Yeah, I mean, I did a whole TED talk about, you know, finding the and in the things. So yeah, it's perfect for it. But it's also the opposite side of things because it's like the forbidden fruit. So if you suddenly tell somebody you can't do something, that's the one thing they want to do. And they think about it all the time. It becomes this big problem that they've then got to carry around. And it's part of it's because your brain can't process negatives. So if I say to you, for example, do not think of a giant blue elephant, you've got to think of a giant blue elephant to try not to think about a giant blue elephant. So if then say you can't do this, then straight away your body's in this position where they're saying, but I'm thinking about it, so I want to do
it.
You're constantly processing that bit of information. So if you put on the table, everything's possible, and it's just a case then how you make it work. Your body, your mind, et cetera, is not trying to repel it. And it's that other crazy thing around, you know, as from a psychological point of view, we want the things that we're not supposed to have, or we don't like to get rid of the things that we know we should. We'll spend more time trying to keep hold of something than actually gaining something even better.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a really great point is when you have that very restrictive mentality, then it's going to be really challenging to be consistent with that for a long period of time. Right? Eventually, you're going to break. And that goes for almost anybody. And most people don't need to be that restrictive with their nutrition anyways, right? They can have some sort of moderation. But I do want to go back to the planning piece because I love what you said about planning ahead. And that's challenging for people, even if you have a lot of decades of experience planning in the business community, for some reason, planning ahead for like a meal is still pretty challenging for a lot of people. So what are some like really simple strategies that people can do or some examples of someone planning ahead for a business lunch or business dinner?
So things, for example, anything where you can find out a little bit more about what's happening there beforehand is great. Sometimes you can't, and that's just it is the way it is. So you might be, for example, it might be a set menu that you've got. It might be a case of you don't know what the venue is going to be like, so you don't know if there's going to be availability or space to be able to go exercise or anything. So it's having some of those little strategies around to say, well, what is it you're going to be able to do? So, for example, from a meal planning perspective, it might be you're given whatever it is that you're going to eat and look at it and say, well, okay, this is probably about one, your fist is about one amount of protein for you to eat. You'll look at something similar. It's probably about the same, for example, the carbohydrates on your plate. It's a crude rule of thumb, but you won't go far wrong. So, you know, straight away, you don't need to eat absolutely tons that's going to be given to you. Same with things, for example, if there is something that you want and it's not on the menu, you can still ask for it. And in fact, in most restaurants, in most hotels, etc., they're very accustomed to accommodate people, and most places are really nice and they want to actually serve you. So for example, if you're looking for an egg white omelette, most of the time, most hotels that you go into will not have an egg white omelette on the menu for breakfast, but you can ask for one and they will quite happily do you one. So don't always think that you're stuck to just what's on the menu or just what's available to you. So go and ask those kind of questions and just push the boundaries a little bit, because most places are really, really happy to be able to accommodate you, and they want to help and make your experience while you're there one of the best ones ever. And that's that. I think if you come with that kind of viewpoint that people are really wanting to serve, then actually becomes a really easy conversation for you to have. So I was just going to talk about the exercise part, actually.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that exact question of when it comes to planning ahead for staying active or exercising, what can people do to plan ahead for that?
Yeah, I mean, it's great. There's a lot more gyms now in most hotels and places that you go into than I think there ever has been before. And certainly when I'm traveling, et cetera, I will try and book hotels that do have some form of equipment available, or look to where the nearest gym is that's nearby. So again, I've got a way of being able to do that, no matter what time of day it is, no matter what kind of weather's outside.
Right.
You know, I'm to be frank, I'm a fair weather person. I'm not one for going out running in the rain. Some people love it. So, you know, if that's your thing, great. But, you know, if you much prefer to be a little bit more drier when you're working out, then, you know, find those facilities. If sometimes you'll go to a hotel or you'll go to a gym, it might not necessarily have all the equipment that you need. Again, have in mind what other adaptions you can do. What could you do, for example, body weight? What can you do with free weights? How can you actually change things like the tempo or the time under load or anything, or the number of reps or the number of sets that you're putting in? Just to, again, how can you create that stimulus? So understand what you can do to adapt it. And if worse comes to worse, and sometimes there'll be places I'll go and they'll have nothing available, just get yourself a set of resistance bands. They right. fold up really nicely, can go in your case, don't take a lot of space or a lot of weight. They're not very expensive, and at least you've got something there that you can then work with. Because in most cases, with a set of resistance bands, a set of stairs, and a few bits that you've got inside a hotel room, you can pretty much do most things that you'd want to do.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's just you and I do the same thing of sometimes selecting hotels that have gyms or selecting a hotel that's near a gym that I can go to. And, you know, that also requires a lot of planning ahead, and you have a gym membership, but you can also get a day pass. But you and I are very similar, and that's the way our mind works, and that's how much of a priority fitness is to us, is that that's kind of a natural part of what we do. And I think for some people it's not as natural, they don't consider that, or it's not higher enough priority. But I also think that that's where the experience of a trainer comes in, is that they can help you in terms of what you can do at that gym or in that different hotel gym. And so that way you're not kind of stranded or stuck wondering. So when it comes to traveling, let's say in an airport or like you're on the way to a city, I'm sure you have some strategies for how you can eat healthy at the airport or on the way, right?
Yeah, so it's exactly the same thing. It's about just making those right kind of choices. So don't just go for the sandwiches, the pizza, et cetera, if that's not going to help towards your goals. I mean, obviously, it's all down to what your goals specifically are. And there is usually some good options. It's just then just seeking them out. Which bits is it? Is it going to be, for example, a fish salad? Is it going to be, for example, some chicken-based dish? Is it going to be like a pork-based dish? There'll be something there that you can have. But it's just working out exactly what it is that you're trying to achieve and then making sure you find it. Because for me, it comes down to a simple equation. You can either make excuses or you can have results. You can't have both. And it's getting people back into that mindset. And that starts, though, by linking back into the values. Because once you've kind of got the idea of why you get out of bed, and then you can really picture what's the problems that's going to cause if you don't fix your health and you don't become more confident, you don't have more energy, you don't get more focus, etc. You live in this kind of world where you're feeling fatigued and potentially feeling brain fog. You just feel you suffer from so many illnesses all the time,
right.
And you just kind of run down. Once you've kind of realized that that's not a state of being you need to be in, but recognize that actually if you don't change this now, it actually becomes something even worse. And then what's the knock-on effects for your life? You know, how's that going to affect what you do on a day-to-day basis? How's that going to affect the aspirations that you have and or your dreams and goals in the general way of thinking? And as soon as you can link that to the things that you generally really, really value, then that's where the big magic happens. Because every time you're thinking, oh, I just won't bother today, or I'm traveling, I'm not going to bother, I'll just do this, go back to that space of thinking, well, actually, so for me, I'll lend you mine. It's a really simple one. It's mainly around my family. So if I didn't sort out my life, I knew that from what my dad goes through with fibromyalgia, diabetes, cancer, blah, 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 and my younger brother started with it, that's where I would head. And I don't want that for my children. I do not want to be a millstone around their heels, basically holding them back. I want them to use me as a springboard to move themselves forwards. And that simple dichotomy, and then applying all the different senses to it. So every time I think about being that millstone, I think about the pain it causes them. I think about the smells. I think about the stress it is. I think about the colors, the textures, the sounds that's going to be around at that point in time, the disappointments, everything. So I tried to make it as color rich as possible. It's a horrible, horrible picture, but straight away it gives me that impetus to say, actually, no, that's not what I want. And then I think the opposite. I think, actually, but if I work on my health, if I do keep myself fit and healthy, then what's that going to look like? And I think about all the amazing things that's going to happen, you know, standing on top of mountains, going kayaking and things with my kids. My kids are a bit older these days, actually. But it's still nice to go out with them occasionally. But, you know, grandkids might be down the line in a few years, maybe. So, you know, still got to be fit and healthy to be a great granddad. So it's once you've kind of got that real core thing that says, this is what I value, and then that kind of holds you to it, and then it becomes more almost like tactics. How can you make it work better? So another really easy tactic that you can use is, and I say to a lot of my clients, is if it isn't in the diary, it doesn't get done.
Yeah.
And especially if you're a busy business person. So if you live with your diary, you schedule all your big appointments, right? So schedule the ones for yourself as well. Schedule the times that you should be training. Schedule the times that you're doing meal prep. Schedule the times that you should be resting and relaxing. Even more importantly, most business owners actually skimp on the sleep. And then if you have one of those days where you have to rearrange things due to traveling, due to business meeting, etc., you've rearranged it. You haven't got rid of it. So it becomes a boulder in your life, not a grain of sand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really good point, is that if you have a strong enough reason why, then it's far less likely that you're just going to, you know, skip that workout or not meal prep, right? Because it's going to be so strong in your mind that there's really no other option. And it sounds like you definitely have yours. And I think family's a pretty common one for a lot of people. But I do want to go back to something that you mentioned, which I thought was interesting, about how, you know, people get outside of their comfort zone or their usual routine. And especially when it comes to traveling, they'll say, you know what, I'm traveling, I'm on the road. You know, I'll get back to it when I get back home, right? And so how do you help your clients kind of drop that mentality of, I'm traveling, so I'll do it when I get back?
So we usually set a 12-week plan, which we're going to try and attain a specific goal within that period. The way I work it, though, is we plan for 12 weeks, but we schedule for 13. Because you can guarantee, as eggs are eggs, within a 13-week period, one quarter, something's going to go wrong. You're going to get cold. You're going to have to go traveling somewhere. The car's going to break. Something's going to impact you and take you off the rails. But if you already know that's going to happen, you've already prepared for it, so therefore it doesn't take you away from your goals. Now, there is going to be times when it might be an extended travel and things, and it's a case of then saying, okay, well, actually, what can we do? What can we plan for? And we just literally do that. We do a planning session, say, okay, well, we can go run your hill. Like one of the chaps I'm working with a lot at the moment, an amazing guy called Mark, wife's from Barcelona, so he spends a lot of time traveling over to Barcelona to be with her parents and things. So he's just got a plan there where he will. Whereas before, he'd go to Barcelona and wouldn't do anything. And you can imagine the food there is amazing. Not necessarily always the most healthiest for your diet. So now he's actually got a plan. He knows what he's going to eat. He knows one or two of the meals he's going to have with the family, and it's going to take him off piece. But we've planned for it. It's part of what he knows is going to be in there. And he just loves it now. He runs along the seafront, effectively, at least three or four times a week. He's found a local gym. It's not got the world's greatest amount of equipment, but it's just enough to be able to keep him on target and things. And he's got a way now of being able to cope with it. So we've kind of created that mechanism now.
Yeah, so it really just comes back to planning ahead, right? And obviously having a trainer such as yourself in your corner makes that planning a lot easier. You could plan for a full 13-week time period, right? But yeah, I think that, you know, again, just you hit on another, like, really a key point is just got to plan ahead, whether that's planning ahead for your trip or planning ahead for a 12-week period of time. So I think that planning ahead is really important for anybody, especially if you're, like you said, you're a busy business owner, entrepreneur. It's very key to have everything put into your diary or planner. So again, planning is very crucial. But Martin, I want to thank you again for coming on the show. We covered a lot of different topics around how you can travel and still maintain your health or work on your health. And I think Jan's got a lot of great things out of it. And again, it sounds like you hit on the two big points of just planning ahead and finding your why.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really good summary there. I think those are two of the biggest things.
So, I want to thank you for coming on the show. And if you want to find Martin on the social media links, I'll provide those in the podcast notes. And that wraps up today's episode. And thank you very much for listening. And if you're a fan of the show, please remember to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. And if you've enjoyed listening. And so, until the next episode, take care of yourselves. And remember, the best project you ever work on is you.